Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message. Rejoicing, and this is supposed to be a happy time. And so let's pray before I get into the message. Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the fact that you want us to always rejoice in life and to lift up your name. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just teach us how to have a heart full of joy, that we're always happy because we have you in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for this time. We ask that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us at this time. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So think about the season. I mean, I was going through some of my old notes, and I found this thing, and I'll probably bring it next week maybe, that talks about what was probably the birth date of Jesus. And I don't mind, they're fixing stuff on the roof, so if you hear people running, that's what they're doing. According to the calculation they used, and starting with John and John the Baptist's parents, they used that, and then they've come up with that they believe that Jesus was actually conceived on the Hebrew month. I think it's Nisan. It's not Nisan. The last month on the 25th, which is where the 25th of December comes from. So he's actually conceived on the 25th, but he was actually born in the fall during the Feast of Tabernacles. And like I said, I'll bring some of those. I have a whole bunch of copies at home. But nevertheless, when you think about the story of Jesus and his announcement of his birth, all the shepherds were gathering in the fields, and the angels came and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a Savior is given." All these things, all these great announcements. But then we think about how, you know, the statistics tell us that many people are depressed during this time of the year. Suicides increase. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying how they were kind of down. And I think part of it was the fact that it was raining a lot. But I told them, I says, "How long you been living in Seattle?" It's like, "Oh man, since the 60s. I says, "So we know it's going to be raining at this time of the year. So why would that depress us when we know it's going to be raining? I mean, this is our winter. I mean, it's either raining. I mean, every now and then we get a little bit of snow, but this is winter for Seattle. And thank God for rain. I'd rather have rain than snow, because you can at least get around in the rain. Amen." So we have to gear ourselves and prepare ourselves not to become discouraged when things happen in our lives. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how to keep a heart that's and an attitude that's grateful, to be thankful even when it's hard to be thankful. Because let's face it, it's not always easy to be glad about stuff. And when I say grateful, that doesn't mean you're smiling all the time. That means that deep down in your heart, you're not going to let the circumstances get the best of you. Amen? So let's look at some of the things that we need to do. The first thing is we need to understand why we should be grateful. And many times we're not grateful because we forget the things that God has done for us. I mean, I think about I accepted Christ right before my 19th birthday. So I just turned 50, so that was a little over 31 years ago. And, you know, I was playing football. I thought I was going to make it to the NFL at that time. And I was full of myself in all the wrong ways. Now, I wasn't a criminal. I didn't do criminal things. I never got high, never got drunk, never slept around. Matter of fact, I hadn't had sex at that time in my life. And, oh, actually, I'd just gotten into that situation. But I was very proud, very haughty, I didn't think I was better than, well, no, I did think I was, I thought I was better than most people. And so I think about now, 31 years ago, I said, man, what would have happened to me if Jesus hadn't come into my life? Where would I be? How would I be? What kind of a person would I be? And then I thought about it, and then I just began to shake my head, and I said, Lord, I thank you that you saved me before I fell too deep into that old lifestyle. And so many times, if we would just think about the things that God has done in our lives, just think about it for one night. The scripture says, and let's go to Psalms chapter 77, verse 11. Psalms 77, verse 11. Psalms is always a good book. If you're ever down, just pick up the book of Psalms. And he just reminds you of the things that, and the one book is Psalms 105, or excuse me, what's that long? 119. That'll probably put you to sleep because it's like 160-something verses. But it's a good psalm. But listen to what Psalm 77 says. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on your work and talk of your deeds. So here he says, I'm going to remember what you did for me. I'm going to talk about him. I'm going to meditate on him. What does meditation mean? That means you're going to think about it. Ponder it. Think of it about it over and over. Think about where would I be if God hadn't reached down and saved me? Where would I be? Where would my family be? I mean, and the thing about it is I have a family. Where would my family be had God not changed my life? So we need to remind ourselves all the good things that have happened in our lives. You know, God, you know, I know I've told my story many times, but when we first got married, Annis and I, my father and I had an argument about it because he didn't want me to get married. I was only 20 when we got married, and he thought I was too young to get married. And thank God we've been married 30 years now. So we made it. He was wrong on that one. And so what happened was, because he was mad at me, because he did not want me to get married, he said he wasn't going to pay for my school anymore because he was paying my tuition. So he had already paid that month, that quarter, and there was another quarter that was coming up, and his wife, he had gotten remarried, and so his wife paid the next one. And I said, well, if you pay the next one, I'll figure out how to do the next one after that. And we were not able to pay the spring quarter, so he had paid for fall. His wife had sent us the money to pay for winter, and I had to drop out in spring because we couldn't come up with the tuition for spring. And then I had to go to work for this. And actually, when we got married, my jobs, I was working on campus, so all of my jobs were connected to me going to school. So if I wasn't going to school, I couldn't work at that job. It was a work-study job. Or no, it was a student helper job. I wasn't on work-study at that time. So I lost my job. I couldn't pay my tuition. And then Annas got pregnant in that same time frame. And I think back on how God orchestrated it all and how we were able to get, you know, by the fall, the child was coming, and you know, a lot of things happened in between. Then Annas had to leave her job, and she's on disability. I mean, it was just all coming at once. But I look back, and God did a miracle, and he took care of that whole situation. You know, I applied for financial aid. I was able to get financial aid. That's how I paid it for my school. And then, you know, back then, if you were married and had a family, they gave you extra money and all that kind of stuff. And then I got my jobs back. And then, you know, and then Annas was getting disability money. And then they sent us a big check and we still haven't, to this day, don't know why they sent it. And we had to, we wanted to make sure, because, you know, the worst thing in the world is to get a check, go cash it, and then say, oh, you weren't supposed to get that check, so you need to give that money back. So I called to make sure this was right. And so that check came right before Marquise was born. So we were able to get cribs, clothes, all the stuff that we hadn't been able to get yet. And I look back and see how God took care of us when we weren't really able to take care of ourselves. And therefore, I remain, and I still to this day know that God will take care of me because he's faithful. Amen? He's going to make a way, even though I can't figure it out how it's going to be. It's going to happen. And most of us don't get a miracle from God because we can't figure it out. It's like, you know, you get a note in the mail and say, well, you got to have this money by the 30th. And then you think and you say, I don't see how that's going to happen. And so we think God can only do what we think is possible. I'm going to say that again because that's confusing. We limit God to our ability as opposed to his unlimited ability. God can make money come out of nowhere. We don't even have to be involved in the process. Now, usually we are, but we don't have to be. And so we have to look past our own understanding and look to how he can do it. And if we do that, God will do great things in our lives. And we can stay grateful. But we always have to remind ourselves of what he's done in the past. Let's look at Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 6 and 7. And this one says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. It says, when I remember, you know how sometimes you can't sleep? I was that way last night. I was tossing, I was turning, and I couldn't sleep, so I got up. But just instead of worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, because usually that's what keeps us awake most of the time. We're like, oh, man, I got to do this tomorrow. I got to work on that tomorrow. I got to, you know, a lot of times when I'm doing legal stuff, and I have to write like a motion or a brief or something, for days I'm thinking about it before I actually put it on the paper. And it's like always on my mind. So I'm walking, I'm pacing the floor at the house, and sometimes I'm thinking about it when I'm sleeping. I say to myself, I need to get this stuff on the paper so I can get it out of my head so I can rest. But instead of doing that, we should remind ourselves about the things that God has done in our lives. Meditate on his goodness. And then it says, and because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Meaning that in his presence, under his covering, I will rejoice. I'm going to be happy because he has helped me. Amen? And then one more passage. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Of course, that's the last book of the Bible. Fifth chapter of Revelation says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy, just like we were singing, to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. This is what God has done for us. He's made us his children. He's redeemed us from all the things that the enemy tried to use to destroy our lives. And if we think about and remind ourselves of what God has brought us out, we can rejoice. We can be happy. Even though we don't have the things that we want materially or the things that we always thought we'd have. You know, sometimes when we think back when we were 18, 19, 20, we say, man, when I'm 40, I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that, I'm going to have this, I'll be driving this, I'll be owning that, this, that, and then it doesn't happen the way you plan. Actually, I thought it when I was thinking, I was like, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to have all that. And it didn't happen. And then 35 came, and it didn't happen. And then some things happened, but it wasn't all that I had thought would happen. But I didn't get sad, but a lot of people, because of the plans they have, didn't come to fruition. They have a bad attitude about their life because they didn't, quote, succeed when they thought they should succeed. And we're going to talk about that one. And so we have to remind ourselves. That's one of the reasons why we should be grateful, just to remember what God has done for us. And the other thing we need to remember, that we're God's children. And the most important thing is that all of our sins have been forgiven. Look at John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. It says, but as many as received to him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're God's children. Therefore, we have a special place in his life, in his eyes, excuse me. And therefore, because we have a special place in his plan, there's nothing that God won't do for us. Amen? But see, a lot of us don't believe that. We have to get to understand that God wants to do good for us, and therefore we should rejoice in the fact that we are his children. Amen? The next thing is, our names have been written in heaven. Those of us that have accepted Christ, we're enrolled in the program. You know, when I was going to school, when you go to school, you have to be enrolled in the class, right? Or you can't go to the class. Or you can go to the class, but you're not going to benefit. Well, I guess you'll benefit by hearing if you want to just learn the stuff, but you're not going to get a grade for it. You're not going to get credit for it. And when I was going to school, I wasn't about to be in classes that I wasn't enrolled in, because I would have wasted my time. But we are enrolled in the heavenly program. Amen? When you look at Luke chapter 10, and he says, Luke 10, 20. And he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, don't be glad just to have power in your life, the ability to pray and see God do miracles through you, but rejoice in the fact that first you're God's child and that you've been added to the names that are now going to be with him forever and ever and ever. And never going to have a need that never goes unmet. Amen? We have to rejoice. He says, rejoice that your names are written. And so a lot of times we think, well, you know, that's later. That doesn't really help me today. But see, that's the whole point. It does help us today. This is what does carry us forward. This is the thing that helps us get through the tough times today. It helps us to overcome now the things that we're facing today. The other thing is that we will spend eternity with the Lord. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 through 17. And it says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So, and this is a description of the rapture, as it's commonly referred to. But here he says, and for we shall be with the Lord. For those of us that are raptured out, those of us that believe in him, will be forever with him. We'll never be separated from God. I mean, think about that. If you think about the God of the creation who can speak and things just happen, that we'll always be with him. That means there's nothing so important in this world that can take that away from us. Amen? I mean, life is not so hard that it could take that joy, take that right, that thing, that privilege that we've gotten from God to be with him forever. Nobody can take that away from us. And therefore, we can be excited. We can be happy. Even though things aren't going the way we think they should go, we can deep down be rejoicing. Because you could say, Lord, I thank you that I'm still your child. Regardless of the fact that my bank account is in the negative, I can still be happy about the fact that I'm a part of your family. Are you getting this? So you notice that attitude is not just what you say, it's what you believe inside. See, what you believe inside comes out of your mouth. As the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever you believe inside comes out of what you say. So if you believe that God is on your side and that nothing can separate you from the love of God, then your life will line up, excuse me, with that confession. The other thing we have to do, and this is a key thing, especially for those that are feeling alone at this time. A lot of times it's funny because when I think back when our kids were little, you know, there was a lot of activity during Christmas time. I mean, we were shopping everywhere, getting things for them and going all these places. And now they're gone and they're doing their own thing. And it's just Annis and I. And for a couple times, I was like, should we even get a tree? Or should we, you know? And so if you're not careful, the activity of the season will take, or the lack of activity will make you become disheartened. Yeah, I miss the fact that these guys are grown and we don't do the things that we used to do with them. You know, I miss that. But I can't change that. Being sad about it's not going to change it. So I have to rejoice at the stage that they're in. Let them do all that stuff now. Let them go shop for their families and their kids and then just rejoice in the fact that we can see the grandchildren enjoy the Christmas season. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, says something that we should always carry with us. And let's go to that real quickly. Chapter 13, verse 5. And it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember that God is always with you. You're never alone. You're never by yourself. You know, some people say, well, I'm lonely. But just remember, and I know sometimes it's hard for us to fathom that God is with us. You know, God is a spirit, and sometimes we're not in the spirit all the time to remind ourselves that God is with us. But we have to know, not believe, not think, not when we can feel him, no, he's with it. But he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he's always there, even though we don't think he's there. But notice he also says something before that, be content with such things as you have, which means that don't always be sad about your plight. But that doesn't mean that you don't strive to improve, because we know that when he gave the talents to the men, or the people, his servants, he gave 5, 2, and 1, and he told them to go and do whatever, and he commended them for making or doubling what he had given them. But so that does not mean to be content, does not mean not to strive to improve. But it just means don't allow your desire to improve consume your desire to appreciate what you do have. Take away the thankfulness. See, a lot of times people are so intent on trying to get to the next level that they forget to enjoy the level that they are on. You think about all the people that, you know, they work hard all their lives and they're saying they're working for their families, and then they think they get to where they want to be, and then all their kids are grown up. They don't have a relationship with their family. And then they say after it's all said and done, man, had I thought about it, if I had to do it over again, I would have spent more time with my kids, because that was actually the most important thing. Not the fact that I made all this money and had all this stuff for them, but I missed their life. And that's what we have to remember, to be content where we are. Yes, we're going. Yes, we're moving forward. Yes, we're trying to be successful. But be satisfied in what we have. Amen? But also remember that God is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. When we're lonely, when we're feeling lonely, just look up to heaven and just say, Lord, I thank you that I'm not alone, that you're with me. And at that time, you will begin to sense his presence even more. When you acknowledge the presence of God, his presence is more tangible to you. Are you following me? So in other words, we know that God is with us, but when we act like God, we not only say that mentally, but we act like he's with us, then we can experience his presence a lot more. And that's what's called walking in the Spirit, being aware of the presence of God, and not in a judgmental way, but in a sweet, soothing, comforting way, a directing way, knowing that God, you know, you can ask God, Lord, I need to find a parking space. Can you help me find a parking space? I got to get to this appointment. And all of a sudden, the parking spaces start to open up because he's with you. There's never a time that I ever think that God is not with me. And that's what helps us to keep out of trouble as well. Because knowing that God is with us, we want to walk where he wants us to walk. And we don't want to walk in all the bad, wrong areas. Do the wrong things. Say the wrong things. Amen? And then finally, and then I'm going to close with this, is don't feel that you are owed something. That's where a lot of people have trouble. They think somebody owes them something. And therefore, their life is not right because they're not getting what they feel they're owed. Am I right? People who expect something and don't get what they expect become bitter as opposed to grateful. Let me take you to this story, and I love this story. We were reading this story just the other night. It's in Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through 15. And it's a story we've all read many times. It's one of Jesus' many parables. And it goes like this. So the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. So let's stop there. So they came out, he hired them, and they said, I'll work for a denarius. All right? That's the contract. All right? Right? You guys got that, right? And so they're in the vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. So he didn't have an agreement. He said, I'll pay you what I think is right. And so they went. And then again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who had hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received a denarius. So notice how they thought they would get more, but they had already agreed to what they were supposed to be paid. And so what happens? They got what? Mad at him. It says, and when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered to one of them, he said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? In other words, didn't you say you would work for that? He says, so what's the problem? If you got what you said you were working for, why do you expect more? And because they thought they were going to get more or thought they were going to be rewarded beyond what they thought and they didn't get it, they became upset. And they had an attitude. And instead of being grateful that they had a job and that they were hired, they wanted to bicker over, man, we paid him more than they paid us. No, he paid you the same. Well, I guess he paid him more by the hour, but not by the day. So when we have this expectation that people owe us something, we can't be grateful because we're always grumbling about what we didn't get. And that's what brings a lot of disputes, especially when people have money in the family and a parent leaves more to one, and that's, you got to be careful with that. But, you know, the kids want to fight over it. And even in Jesus' story, Jesus said, a man said, Lord, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And he said, man, I'm not your judge. He said, I'm not going to get into all that. Because we get bitter when we think we're owed more than what we get. And we have to be careful not to do that and to be grateful for what God gives us. Amen? All right, I'm about to close because I'm over time. But this is just a rehearsal. Practice the things that we know that God has done in our lives. Remember what he's done. Remember, you know the good times that you had in life. Not always the bad times. I mean, man, it's easy to remember the bad times. Saying the bad times come. But, you know, to be honest, though, think about it this way. In life, there's really more good than bad. I mean, think about it. I mean, you may have a season of bad, but it doesn't last usually the whole year. It's just like a period of time. Am I right? I mean, it doesn't like go on and on. Sometimes it goes longer than you want it to go, but it's not as long as you think it is. So remember that the good always outweighs the bad, and that we have a reason to rejoice. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. We're going to go home. There's refreshments in the back. Thanks for listening. I know I went over a little bit, but not too much. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for teaching us.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it will impact you, that you will continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.